행이 우측에
As I understand breathing, then I am doing something wrong. Welcome to Tongue in Cheek.
So today we're going to start with some breathing exercises, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And unlike yesterday where we started our breathing exercises standing or sitting, or in syncopation with somebody else. These are going to be a little bit more personal. And we're going to start on the floor. So laying supine on the floor. So we're just going to reposition ourselves here. So hopefully without cables that took a little less time than for us. So first thing that we want to turn our attention to is just focusing our breath through our nose, in and out of our nose, keeping the lips closed. Helps, close your eyes. And what you want to do is really keep that in and out breath within the channel of your nose to your chest. Keeping your lips closed, not talking like I'm talking, not parting your lips like I'm parting. Once you feel you have start to develop that channel. You can start to dare to open and part your lips, but only with the confidence that you can keep that seal, that oral seal, closing off the passage of air between your nose and your chest. So there should be no air passing between your lips. Feel you can keep that channel, you can open your mouth even more. And as you keep doing this, start to sense what's moving in your body as you're breathing in and as you're breathing out. Are your heels rocking you forward and back along the skin of your back? What is your breath making you move? And where can you start to channel your breath to? On the in-breath, can you breathe to your big toe on your left leg? On your out-breath, can you bring it up along your knee? On your next in-breath, can you bring it to your right big toe? And then out along your knee. Okay, now shake that out a little bit on the floor. Wiggle your bottom and your ears a little bit. You can let some air pass through your mouth. And now, still laying on your back. I think I've lost my other two. Still laying on your back, I want you to place both your hands on the side of your chest, just at your lower ribs. Kind of where you imagine your bottom of your diaphragm, your diaphragm touching your stomach and all your guttural stuff. You get some hard and some soft on both sides. And with your hands on the side of your ribs, I want you to take, don't do this yet, hear me out first. I want you to take one huge breath out, emptying your chest of absolutely everything that's in there. And when you do that, I want you to keep your hands along the side of that empty cavity you have there and realize the tension, all the muscle work that you're doing just to keep air out, not to breathe in, but to keep air out. And then you're gonna release. So let's do that together. One big breath out. Feel it just with the relaxing of your muscles on the sides of your stomachs. Refill the vacuum.
And now, slowly, joint by joint, limb by limb, raise your head and move into a crouching position. What we might call a monkey pose. Breathe in from the top of your skull. Channel that breath down the spine all the way to the bum. Keep breathing. Begin to let the breath energize the body. Breathe into the bum and through the bum and out the bum. Through your legs, down and out through your feet. Let that open the body. Sense that your torso is engaged. Collect your energy at the front of your skull. Can we imagine that we're about to lift a weight? Can we find the strength in our chest to lift this weight? Can we play with the physics of the body? And now slowly emerge vertebra by vertebra into a standing position, remembering that you're breathing all the way through the body.
Now that we're standing, let's go back down. Allow the weight of your body, the weight of your head, to bring your neck curling down again, vertebra by vertebra, down the back of your neck, down your upper back, curling down and down. And down, and down, and down, and down. Till all the weight in your head, all the weight in your shoulders have pulled you as far down as you can go. And remember that feeling of breathing through your bum. Letting the breath where your head was be taken over by your bum. And now, picking up pace a bit, stay down. And we're gonna start to vocalize something a bit. We're gonna use an inhale, a sigh in, to voice a ha ha.
Ha ha.
So inhale and allow one big breath to pull, to force your upper torso up and then on a release, bounce down. Like, ha, ha, ha. So here, actually, the bending down, the letting your body fall back down, the torso compress against your upper thighs, is pushing out that ha, ha.
Ha, ha.
Keep going. One breath in, making you inflate up. And letting out like a bad leak. One more. And now let's take one deep breath to pull ourselves up. Okay, a little change of pace. Let's discuss a little bit what we were doing.
So, how do you feel the breath is moving you physically? When you crouch and you take those breaths into your bottom, can you feel how the torso inflates like a bladder when you take a breath in? It supports your torso and lengthens your spine. And in weightlifting and physical exercise, the focus on breathing is probably one of the most important things that, professional athletes have to focus on, or professional movers, because when you take those deep breaths in, it makes your torso rigid. It does more work far and away than your muscles do in order to keep your back straight and your spine strong. So those belts that a lot of lifters use, and a lot of professional movers or people who have to work with their body a lot use, is less to support the spine directly and more to assist your muscles, as we felt before, in holding those breaths in. You breathe against it, you pull these big breaths in, and you breathe against such a belt, ideally your own muscles, and it keeps your body rigid like a bladder. It inflates it, and that supports all this movement and action.
Yeah, I think it's amazing how, actually, we're about to sort of reverse it, right, in a way, but that breathing, this thing that we do subconsciously while we sleep, or automatically, in the most subconscious moments, but also in the most conscious moments of talking to someone or holding your breath before we're about to say something, or wanting to say something, wanting to interject, yeah. that it's actually moving us physically, right? And maybe to transition into the next set of exercises that we're going to do before we call in an expert, what's going to change now is, instead of the breath moving us physically, in some ways we're going to start to move the body in order to form the breath, right?
Yes.
We're sort of like leading towards vocalizing, but seeing how the movement of our body is actually the thing that's producing that breath, which is sort of the inverse of what we were just doing.
Yes.
Yeah?
As we investigate the relation between breath and sound.
Yes.
And body.
Intensified.
And
this new set of exercises, breathing by moving the body, instead of moving by breathing into the body, or breath moving the body. So breathing by moving the body. We're gonna do three exercises. One on the floor again. You can ignore us if your floor is too dirty for your liking, or if you just don't wanna get on the floor, you can't get on the floor, that's okay.
It can remain in the realm of the imaginary.
Yes. So we're gonna get back on the floor. We're gonna start with a belly shake. And then, time bidding, we'll do a vacuum stretch. If not, we'll wait for our call-in for that. And then, so belly shake, and then after that, a jaw loosening exercise, which we're calling a kind of handshake. So let's get on the floor again. Yeah?
To the floor we go.
So, on the floor, you know how we had our hands at the sort of in between of the heart of our lower ribs and in the fleshy gut. We want to lower them a teeny bit. And instead of laying our hands as if feeling with our palms, we kind of want to point our fingers into that soft flesh. Just below the ribs, just at that part, just below where it's really uncomfortable to push in. And separate your fingers a bit, as if you want to point in as many places as you can. And what we're gonna do is just start to shake it. Shake the fingers. Keep them pointed. Shake them. And start to leave your mouth open. See what it's doing to that passing breath. Now start to voice that. Try to let out a sigh as you're doing that. What's voicing? Are you speaking from the labyrinth of your gut? Okay, now give it a big slap. And stand up.
how does your belly feel?
Aaron, how's your belly feel?
It's loose. I'm thinking about my breathing more. I'm not holding so much tension in it right now.
Squidgy.
Yeah.
Taut.
Taut. Mine's taut. I was standing. I lied. So now we're going to move on to the... Do we want to do the vacuum stretch or wait for our call-in?
I think we should. It would follow nicely.
Okay. That's great. So Emma, can you bring us that way?
Sure.
Okay. Hands on your ribcage again. Now fold. Fold that ribcage and bend. Bend down so that you're almost perpendicular to the floor. And then come up. Bring yourself up. Muscles still activated. Bring one arm to the ceiling, your right arm to the ceiling. Stretch towards the left. Bring your left arm to your ribcage. The uppermost side on the right. And play that ribcage like a guitar string. Stretch as far as you can go, isometrically. And now bring yourself up to standing. Hands to ribcage. Fold down again. Fold. Bring yourself back up. Reverse it. Stretch. Instrumentalize the ribcage. Ready-made instrument. Stretch the skeleton. And now bring yourself up to standing. And that was the vacuum stretch.
It was. It was our own version of the vacuum stretch. John would disagree.
Well, that's why
great.
We're here.
Yeah. Okay, on to the next exercise. Aaron, do you want to bring us through this loosening of our jaw as we move up the body?
Sure. So, this one will be on the floor again. We're going to begin on the floor, right? For the belly shake. Okay, so...
Not on the floor.
Yeah, we're not going to do it on the floor. So standing up, hold your hands out in front of you, and interlace your fingers. And keeping your body as loose as possible from head to toe, take your hands out in front of you and shake them vigorously in front of you while beginning to breathe out of your mouth and feel how it affects your breath. Keep your jaw loose. Loosen your jaw and let your face and muscles in your head loosen. And begin to vocalize. And let your voice come out as you're doing this. Feel how the movement in your hands and the vigorous shaking moves your jaw. But don't try to move your jaw actively. Let it move passively through the motion in your hands in front of you.
The laughter is good. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's an incidental vocalization.
Yeah. So it's nice to feel how this breath and voice is moved by actions in the body, around the body, and how these sounds become incidental to your bodily motion and movement, rather than something that you're willing very consciously.
We're going to be joined by telephone by a special guest, the actor Jonathan Gordon, stage and film actor, known for a film called Those People. He's going to lead us through some exercises that he calls channeling exercises.
Great. So let's get John on the line, see if he's here. John?
Hi.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
Can you hear us, or do you have to have your volume up?
I can. Well, I've got you on speaker, but let me plug in. That might be a little bit easier.
Okay.
Hello?
You get closer to that, your voice is coming through.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Thanks, Tom. There's someone else here.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you. Great. You're on the air.
Good. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Very well.
Good.
I'm good. I love what I'm hearing.
Great. I'm hoping.
Been listening in?
I have indeed. Yeah.
Ah, so all is revealed.
What was revealed?
Well, has been revealed then.
Oh, all is revealed. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. John, before we get into some of the exercises that we spoke about doing, can I ask you a question or two?
Yeah. Sure.
So on the exercises that you told us about, they're called channeling or channel exercises. And I was just wondering if it's something you've ever thought about or how it was ever explained to you what it means by channel or channeling exercises.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I guess what immediately comes to mind for me is that as an actor in a lot of the voice classes that you take, there's this notion of trying to focus your sound, that in warming up the vocal instrument, part of what you're trying to do is channel very specifically certain resonators in your body. And oftentimes you will envision an imaginary point within the room to send your sound towards. And so this sort of becomes important when you're in a theater setting, because there's this notion that your intention, what you're trying to communicate to another person as you try to get what you want, that should focus your sound, right? That when I, am demanding something of you, there is a very specific vocal register that I'm using. And that if incorrectly, and if I'm engaging the different parts of my vocal apparatus, that sound will come out very focused and crisp. And in an auditorium, that's obviously very important, because you want the people in the back row to feel the vibrations of sound and emotion. The channel, maybe even if we were to imagine it as this physical thing, to me runs from, the viscera in your, your guts, where the emotion originates, and like a tube runs through your body, out your mouth, into the back of the theater.
Wow. It's amazing. I think Bataille would be happy. It's like sort of a acephal, headless, gut-to-room thing.
Anatomizing.
Yeah, I think it's amazing how it's sort of like anatomizing the room, or like also thinking of the auditorium as an extension of the body through that. Is that stretching it too far, John?
No, I don't think so.
um,
In Greco-Roman times, they would position empty vessels in amphitheaters to provide a kind of analog amplification for the voice.
Uh-oh, what happened here? John?
I'm so sorry.
You lost us?
I lost you for a second. My phone has been
That's okay.
Acting up lately, I apologize.
The precarity.
I thought someone else was calling in.
Makes it exciting. So we're glad you're back.
Emma, you were commenting on something.
I had just the image of the actor speaking to the back of the architecture of say the auditorium made me think of the fact that in Greco-Roman times they would position empty vessels throughout the amphitheater to provide analog amplification for actors' voices.
And alternatively, as you've relayed to me, Socrates, I guess, practiced his oration against the waves.
Yes.
to be a stand-in for the deaf ears of everyone who disliked him.
Yes. So you can all go and practice vocalizing in front of the sea.
I guess last thing before we jump into them, just because I haven't said it, if you want to explain how you use these exercises in a certain way. I mean, you already spoke a little bit to it, maybe where you learned them, or how you've sort of acquired your routine.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, what's sort of fascinating about the world of theater, or just acting in general, is that the structure around the preparation for performance sort of remains the same, from a very young age and into your professional life, which is to say that the routines themselves and the exercises don't become more dynamic. Since I was this clueless seventh grader acting in, school productions, we would have warm-ups before we went up on stage, vocal warm-ups. And these, in the most direct way, are used to warm up your body, for the same reason that when you might get out of bed in the morning, it's sort of like my voice now, or it's very much resting in the back of my throat, sort of gravelly, versus the way that you come up on stage where you are speaking using your entire body. You're engaging your nasal channel and your chest. Mm-hmm. And your entire palate in your voice. So these are, that's all to say that these are exercises that you as an actor start to incorporate, as soon as you start performing. The exercises that I spoke to you guys about and that I will be leading, I guess, in a couple of minutes, were taught to me by a man named Tom Jones, who is the voice teacher at the acting graduate program at Brown University, and when I was an undergraduate there, he actually started teaching some of the undergraduates. Okay. So the exercises that he taught are ones that I continue to do both before performing and auditioning, and really any time where it feels necessary to warm up my voice and my body and better connect to my breath.
Cool.
I just have one question before we embark.
Yeah.
For you, John. Could you talk a little bit about how the voice ages, if it ages, or if it, as opposed to, say, the physical body, remains a kind of ageless entity?
Well, that's a great question. I really never thought about how the voice ages. I mean, knowing really nothing beyond a layperson about anatomy and physiology, my only guess would be that as we grow older, the channel from our speaking channel becomes more obstructed as the muscles wear and the body wears, and we ourselves become less flexible. So a fuller voice becomes perhaps more difficult to achieve. Then one might also wager that as we experience, the depth of emotion through age that the voice itself takes on certain characteristics that are reflective of that.
It's funny because I would imagine the opposite, that like as we get older, we imagine we're getting kind of, although we might lose flexibility, we're kind of getting looser and looser.
Really? I mean, I always imagine, I mean, clearly when you're talking to someone who's very old, they've lost, you know, a lot of fine motor control, and you can see that in their face and their expressions. You know, their lips kind of hang a little more. One of the most visible signs of aging is that you see the lower teeth. That's considered like a very, you know, like a mark of old age because they can't hold, you know, their lips up. And I'm sure the same applies to the voice, to the vocal folds, that if you can't exert that same level of fine motor control, then you're just going to, you're going to be a little looser and with your speech.
Right, because the voice is actually an athletic exertion as much as...
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so, well, at whatever age we might be, should we get into these exercises?
Yes.
Yes.
So, John, we kind of curated a little bit. We spoke about this. You still there?
Yeah.
Do you want to bring us through the ha-ha, broom-ha-ha, or I'll let you introduce them. I told you four.
Sure.
I can't remember where they are. Where is my piece of paper?
Say again, or what?
Number four, number five, number 10, number six. I thought you remember them by number.
No problem. I'm going to put you guys on speakerphone so I can move about.
Great.
So just let me know if you can't hear me.
No worries.
You guys there?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, sure. Great. So these are sort of selected exercises from a series of vocal warm-ups that all together probably last about 20 minutes. And taken together, the idea is that once completed, are now, you know, your vocal instrument is fully warmed up, you are better connected to breath, and able to more fully channel and focus your sound. So right now we're going to hang over, we're going to do loops of the waist with the neck soft, arms hanging down. You guys worked on this, a sort of similar positioning earlier in your show. We're bent at the waist, and we're going to take a breath and try to channel it towards the lower back, so naturally you're going to sort of float up a little bit, and then exhale. One more time, going into the lower back, and then swapping over again.
So on the exhale, we're falling down?
Right, okay. Right, exactly. And this time we're going to breathe in, and when we exhale, we're going to let it out on a ha-ha. And the idea here is really not to push the ha-ha, to push the noise, but to rather let it be affected by the movement of the body. So if it, even if it's a small sound, that's all right. So we breathe in. And once we've done that twice, we're going to slowly roll up vertebra by vertebra. And on our exhale, we are going to continue to make it audible on a ha-ha, and we're going to run up our vocal register. So we'll begin. And once you're fully erect, open your eyes, take stock of your body. What's really helpful in an exercise like this is when you're exhaling on these ha's, to imagine that the sound is vibrating all the way to your feet, and that's going to help you sort of ground yourself and ground your sound to make the sound as full as possible. So now, having run up the vocal register, we're going to be going down the scale. So rolling down again, vertebra by vertebra, and exhaling on a ha ha as we go down the scale, so starting up high. Ha ha.
Ha ha.
Ha ha. Ha ha. Ha ha. Now we should more or less be back down to where we started, hanging loose at the waist, arms loose, neck loose. And now we're going to be exhaling on a different sound. This is called a brumha. And basically the movement that I'm making with my mouth is I'm brrring with my lips, and then finishing them by then sealing the lips. Brrma, and
brrma.
So now with that sound, we're gonna again roll up vertebra by vertebra, going up our vocal register, up the scale. So
brrma.
And then once we've reached the top and we're standing, we again go all the way back down.
Oh, dear. That's a great one.
Okay, should I move on to number five?
We're trying to figure out what we have time for, because we have a...
Okay, sure.
About
maybe the in-out K sound. Would you guys...
Sure.
Or we could save that for tomorrow when we're going to do phonemes.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Long hum? Maybe because it's within the kind of same movement.
Same world.
Can we do the long hum with the hey?
The tongue scratch?
No, I think the long hum.
Oh, the long hum.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, sure. Sure, yeah.
That
so
might
this
be a little,
is a,
yeah.
What's that?
Nothing.
Okay. So this is a more dynamic way of waking up your body, or as we call it in the acting world, your instrument. Because you are playing your instrument when you're acting. So basically what we're going to do here is we are essentially, the body movement is we are going to be starting standing and letting our head take us down. We're going to roll all the way down, descend, and roll all the way back up. And this is sort of a fast movement. As we are rolling down and rolling up, we are making this sound. So we are moving and making the sound at the same time. The idea being that as we move, we are letting the sound be affected and manipulated by the way our body is moving. So the first step here is.
So we're going
right.
We're going down with the hum.
All the way down, all the way back up.
Right.
Right.
So like sort of
here. What's that?
just that we're letting our body sort of swing down and then pull back up with the hum, and then we're doing a semicircle with our neck, which...
Right, so once we get to the top, we are then going to semicircle with our neck, swing our neck to the right side and the left side. This, while we're continuing to make that sound, and then...
Like literally shaping the channel of sound.
Right, exactly. And then we are going to, after rolling the neck, we are going to shake our shoulders up and down, right? Continuing with the So basically, this first guy is going to sound a little bit like this. I'm rolling down, up, swinging my neck from side to side, and then shaking my shoulders, and then opening my mouth to let the sound go from to ah. So it'll sound like this.
Can we hear another? John?
Hey, should I go on to the next?
No, I think maybe we'll do one more down and up. And then we're going to have to close up shop here.
Okay, no problem. So I'll just say that the idea with this is that we do it four times, ending each sort of with a different exhale. Once with the shaking the shoulders, once shaking from the knees, once jumping up and down, and then lastly, shaking your hips side to side. So I'll give you one more.
You can go through the three if you want.
Shoulders, and I'll go for the knees. So.
You can go through them, the three.
Go through them? Okay, so I've just taken from my knees, and now I'm going to be jumping up and down to exhale. So. That's jumping up and down, and now I'm going to finally end with a shake. This is sort of like you're slapping your butt cheeks together and keeping your arms loose, really trying to shake from the middle of your torso.
Twerk.
Or I should say really more from the pelvis, I guess. So it goes like this.
Wonderful.
Wow.
Thank you, John.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, John.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
So again, that was Jonathan Gordon, the stage and film actor, going through his channeling exercises that he uses for his own practice that he's acquired over the years. Thanks so much for sharing, John.
You're welcome. Thank you, guys.
Bye.
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 Escapopus can't get dragged, he's orangutan, hum! In a jammy kind of leather, me how nibbly, ow! Holler it, quim, roan, silly wig, how bounce and wiggle. Escapopus can't get dragged, and that's any kind of legacy. Me, hell, nifty. Ah, ah, ah. Holler it, whip, roll, sing, wiggle, bounce, and wiggle.
Stop.
today you've heard that Zorg Vanchig with his throat music, Mongolian throat music. F. Matthias Alexander, articles and lectures. William Shakespeare, Venus and Adonis from 1593. Jonathan Gordon, Channel Exercises. Antonin Artaud, Sound Effects and My Cry in the Stairwell from To Have Done with the Judgment of God, recorded in 1947. Bob Cobbing from ABC in Sound, DPT, from 1971.
Tune in again tomorrow at 10 a.m. for another episode of Tongue and Cheek. Bring your best voice with you. His nostrils drink the air.